And a man who was on the much talk about US equalisation trip about 2 months ago. Many of the AFL head honchos, including Andrew Demetrio, were over there having a look, sussing out the American sports scene to make the AFL as equal from Club 1 to Club 18 as possible. His name is Peter Gordon. He's a president of the Western Bulldogs and he joins us now. Peter, welcome to Gillette Trade Radio.
Thanks, guys. Good morning.
When did you first get a bit of an inkling that Buddy Franklin could be a Sydney Swan?
Oh, yeah. 24 hours ago.
And what was your first thought?
I didn't believe it.
Just from the sense that 12 months ago they were able to go out and get Kurt Tippett, and now who was the prize free agent, and now Buddy Franklin, who everyone in the comp wants the signature of, and Sydney Swans have been able to get it.
Yeah, well, I guess like most of the industry, I'd become a bit used to the idea of him going up to Western Sydney. And, you know, I think a lot of us were, you know, quietly pleased that that was, you know, going on. You know, they've only won three out of the last 44 games. And I think we all saw it, or most of the industry saw it as a bit of a fillip for a club that's obviously been struggling to make a bit of an impact up there. So, you know, there's always, the very fact that I'm talking on trade radio, there's a lot of interest in who goes where at this time of year. But and I took the initial mutterings about Franklin to Sydney with a grain of salt, but and compounded, of course, by exactly what you've said. I mean, it's a remarkable feat of recruiting that they can fit Kurt Tippett in 1 year and Buddy Franklin the next. It's magician-like.
Peter, it's Nathan Brown. Thanks for joining us. You're a very smart man. You operate that footy club and have been doing a great job for the last 12 months. Do you think in 3 or 4 years' time it's going to compromise a list like Sydney's and their football club when you're paying two players over 20% of the total player payments?
Well, Nathan, it has the potential to, doesn't it? I'm not going to criticise Sydney's list management when you look at the way that they've been able to stay in the top echelon of the competition over the last 7 or 8 years. They're obviously doing a number of things right. And, you know, it seems to me they've probably taken a punt on a few things or a calculated gamble. One of those things might be the upward movement in the salary cap itself over the course of the next 5 to 10 years. We've got the TV rights deal coming up at the end of 2016, and who knows where that's going to go if, you know, the pay TV and the free-to-air TV ratings continue to improve in the way that they have. We may be looking at an accelerated increase in the salary cap that might make the component which is constituted by Kurt Tippett and Buddy Franklin a lot less of the total proportion of it in 5 years' time than it is now. You know, they might be banking on those sort of things, and but they've clearly gone out there and taken a risk, and just as it worked for them with Tony Lockett many years ago, it may well turn up trumps for them in the years to come.
Bulldog supporters would obviously be up in arms this morning because they understand that Lance Franklin, if he came to the Bulldogs with the forward line they have at the moment and the exposure that he'd give the Western Suburbs would be amazing. But unfortunately, the Bulldogs paid $2 million less than Sydney last year, and it's just hard to figure out how you can compete with that. And how do we get to an even playing field?
Well, first of all, you're right that the central difference is a revenue capacity difference. But respectfully, you're wrong that it's hard to figure out how to fix it. You know, the answer as to how to fix it is obvious, and it's the road that the AFL is going down with equalisation. What we need in this competition is 18 clubs that all have an equal salary cap to build to and an equal capacity to pay it. And once every club's in a position to do that, not just for 1 year, but can consistently plan to do that, you know, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years into the future, then you'll see the sort of competition, not only for players like Franklin, but for other players in the competition. It'll be good for players, good for the competition, and good for the fans, in that it'll generate not only amongst the fan base for the Western Bulldogs, but the Demons, the Saints, North Melbourne, Brisbane, Port Adelaide, all of those clubs that have had some sort of financial constraint in paying the salary cap over the last 10 years, the ability to hope legitimately with you know, on reasonable grounds, that they might make the last 2 weeks in September sometime in the near future. That's an exciting prospect, and it's the sort of sporting environment that the NBA and the NFL and Major League Baseball have been planning for and increasingly been able to achieve over the last few years through revenue sharing.
When you were in the US recently, Peter, did it ever get asked by any of the key officials from US sports if, say, someone who plays for the New York Knicks in the NBA gets a living away from home allowance or a higher living allowance and it's in the salary cap, maybe compared to someone who might play for the Milwaukee Bucks who are based in Wisconsin? It's a lot more expensive to live in New York than it is in Wisconsin. Did that ever get mentioned at all?
Oh, it was mentioned in dispatches because, as you might imagine, there are one or two blokes on that trip who have a bit of an interest in the cost of living allowance. Mm-hmm. And I was one of them. Look, I don't think it forms a big part of US sport, but I think that whilst there are some important lessons to be learned in some of those sports, there are limits to the comparisons between Australia and America as well. And when you look at some of the incomes that some of those basketballers and footballers are on, you know, realistically, they're so high that the question of how much they're paying for their rent or for their Big Macs on the weekend, it doesn't form a big component of it.
The theory of the cost of living allowance, Peter, to me, isn't as bad as a lot of people are making out to be. It defies logic that it's based on a percentage where every single player is allegedly getting 9.8% of their salary. So Buddy Franklin, who is a man, will say 1.4 million, gets 9.8% of 1.4, while a rookie who needs it desperately more than Buddy Franklin only gets 9.8% of, say, 70,000. So if they change it and structure it a little bit better where the guy, say, maybe under the average salary gets the cost of living allowance, but guys above it don't get it, would that work going forward? Because I don't think that it's unrealistic to believe that it is a little bit more expensive to live in Sydney.
But then where? You know, than Perth? You know, some of the more recent statistics suggest that that's one of the most expensive. I think Darwin is the biggest cost of living at the moment. The last statistics that I saw suggested that Sydney's cost of living was 3.7, not 9.8, but 3.7% bigger than the average. But it's not a question of what the national average is. The real question is, how much more expensive is it for Buddy Franklin or Kurt Tippett to go up there? And, you know, let's be honest about it. I think the reason Buddy Franklin are going up there is not to get a good rent. He's got a number of lifestyle choices which have been reported, which clearly make it a good decision for him. There are different cost of living figures in every state of Australia. Even within Melbourne, there are different cost of living depending on what suburb you need to live in. We ought to be aiming for every AFL player to be very well financially rewarded for playing in the AFL, for the honour of playing in the AFL. And if we get to that stage, then these sort of differences, which really are, I think, to the margin in terms of rent and in terms of how much it costs to get a meal or pay for utilities, ought to fade into obscurity. They're not relevant to the decent and better than decent wages which we are paying and ought to be paying in the AFL in the future.
Now, good point, Peter. Your footy club had a very good finish to the season after a tough year. Very active in the trade period so far. Obviously, after Stuart Cramery, that was it's been bandied around long before the trade period started. Where is the footy club at with that?
Oh, mate, ever since I participated in encouraging the club to draft Alan Jakovich back in 1990, I've tended to steer clear of these more arcane debates. I've got great confidence in Jason McCartney, the terrific list manager for us, and I'm sure he's doing a good job with all the people he ought to be doing a good job with.
Hey, just before we let you go, and we understand that you're not overly involved when it comes to all the football matters, but do you think that the clubs like the Western Bulldogs and North Melbourne's, the Melbourne's at different times, the clubs that aren't financially going as well as maybe a Sydney or Hawthorn or a Collingwood, do you think they need to become more ruthless and take some more risk when it comes to list management?
Oh, look, I think the fundamental point is that we need to be armed to do it.
Yep.
Now, we need to have the same revenue capacity and salary cap capacity that the others do and play under the same rules. And once we do, I think you'll see that the hard-bitten experience and now the clubs which have really, you know, bitten off more than they can chew and chewed like bugger for years and years and years will come to the fore. You know, I admire what North Melbourne's been able to do on the field this year. I reckon there's a few teams in the finals who were pretty relieved that North Melbourne didn't make it. You know, and likewise, the Saints over the last 10 years and likewise the Bulldogs. All we need is the sort of even chance that the others have had. Increasingly, I'm optimistic that we're going to get it and that we're going to have a plan for a professionally run football department and you know, fully paid salary cap for the first time ever in our history over a, you know, period of 5 to 10 years. And, you know, I think fans not only the Bulldogs, but the Kangaroos and the Saints got a lot to look forward to in this new era in the AFL.
Based on your thoughts and your thinkings behind what you just explained, and I agree with all of it, is the free agency period and the way that it is now changing the landscape of AFL last year and now this year, is it becoming bad for the game already?
Well, it will be if it continues in the absence of proper revenue sharing measures.
Yep.
But give us an equal capacity to compete in terms of the revenue, in terms of the salary gap. And you'll see teams like the Bulldogs and like St Kilda pulling off free agency trades, which will be exciting for the supporters, exciting for the competition, and create the level of uncertainty and, you know, the any given Sunday principle that everyone wants. It's an exciting prospect. I think we're heading into an exciting time.
When you have this conversation that you're having with Brownie and I now with the AFL, what do they say?
They agree. Everyone supports the any given Sunday principle.
Yep.
Everyone supports the idea that we need clubs being able to compete, and we need, yeah, not just, you think about the games which are really, really interesting this year. Geelong and Hawthorn, for example, has become a standard game. But, you know, I remember in 1998, the Bulldogs playing North Melbourne when we were 1-2 on the ladder. You know, we can get to a situation in the AFL where every weekend, every one of the fixture games is an exciting, unpredictable game. And when we do, you know, we will have paid due respect to what I think is the greatest sporting competition in the world.
I'm a Bulldog supporter, Peter. I remember that Friday night at the MCG win would have got us a minor premiership. You would have played in that game, wouldn't you, Brownie?
Certainly did.
Get
and,
a touch?
Not too many touches. Went into the finals, and we played a great final series until Darren Jarman decided to go bang, bang, bang in about 5 minutes and put us out of our misery.
Hey, Peter, we appreciate your time. We know it's an interesting topic and one that will continue to bubble away until equalisation in the AFL becomes a reality, mate. Good luck with all of that. I think the fans of all the clubs want to see it as well, and we'll talk again real soon.
Thanks, mate. All the best.
Peter.